Well, when you work for Randy, there are times when he's subtle about how much he's not very happy with the job that you're doing, and sometimes he's not so subtle. And it should be abundantly clear to all of you here today that he's not very happy with me right at the moment, because I'm the one that got nominated to come up here and talk about the economy and beef demand. You know, I got to be honest, there's been a number of years when I've had the opportunity to come up here and speak in front of this crowd and talk about all the wonderful things that are going on in the world of beef demand. Not that it's all completely doom and gloom this year, so I guess sometimes you have to take the good with the bad. As we start off this conversation here this morning, one of the things that has really impacted us as a beef industry has just been the financial turmoil that we've seen take place here in the United States and frankly around the world. And if you look at the stock market performance here in the United States, obviously it's been dismal over the course of the last year or so, maybe the last 18 months. But it's actually been worse in other parts of the world. And that's something to keep in mind as we think about here what's going on domestically, but really what's going on around the world. This economic and financial turmoil is actually a global phenomenon, not just a domestic phenomenon. And this just shows a number of the different stock indexes around the world and how they've tracked relative to the U.S. financials here just over the course of the last year or so. Now, one of the things that's happened here more recently, I think on our way up as cattle prices increased along with energy prices and grain prices during much of 2006, 2007, at least through the middle part of 2008, we were very, very tightly correlated with a lot of different commodities. On the way down, we've been very tightly correlated with those same commodities, but also very tightly correlated with what's going on in our own financial markets here in the United States. And the way that this has played out in our markets more recently is really this. If we have a good week in the stock market, we have an opportunity to sell cattle at even money or maybe a little bit higher. But if we have a rough week in the stock market, it's almost assuredly going to be a pretty tough week in the cattle market. And I think that just all ties back to how everything is surrounding what's going on in the financial and the economic world today. At some point, the cattle market fundamentals will take over and play out the way that they normally do. But right now, we're all just kind of watching the same thing. And every breath of every one of these markets really hinges on what goes on in the financial markets from day to day and week to week. Here's a quick look at a number of key economic indicators. You know, if you read or if you watch any kind of economic news whatsoever, there's any number of these that you could watch. And here's just a list of a few and kind of what signals some of these are sending about the economy. If you think about the CPI or a measure of inflation, you know, we had a completely different song that we were singing about inflation and the worry about inflation about a year ago. You know, it was on everybody's mind that, boy, with energy prices increasing as much as they have, grain prices and food prices increasing as much as they have, we've got to worry here. And really, we don't have that same kind of discussion going on amongst a lot of economists today. I think that they've pushed that out. They're worried about inflation maybe a year from now or 2 years from now. But at least right now, it's not being very impactful on the economy. Industrial production. This last measure was one of the biggest declines in over 34 years. If you look at retail sales, six straight monthly declines. We had a tremendous decline in September of over 4%. For the fourth quarter in 2008, retail sales were down about 8%. Okay, so again, not any really good news there. Job growth, we had another report out this morning. You know, all indications are that we're going to send unemployment close to 8.5% or 9% over the course of the next year. There's another group of indicators that are called the leading indicators. There's 10 of those. They actually had an uptick, a surprising uptick in December. But for the most part, the folks that watch those and measure those expect for the recession to remain fairly steep and deep through at least the spring of 2009. Consumer confidence, the index hit an all-time low just this last year. Okay? So you roll all this together, and there really isn't a whole heck of a lot of good news out there today. GDP outlook. I think that you can probably get a different read from a whole host of different folks, okay? We kind of tried to find one that's maybe sort of middle of the road. And basically everybody expects for our economy to contract in 2009. I think the real question on the minds of a lot of folks is how much will the economy grow in 2010, and when in 2009 will we turn the corner and actually start to come out of this? Our expectation is by late in the year, we're going to start to get a little better news. Hopefully it's a little bit sooner than that, but we'll be a little bit conservative and say it's going to be during the second half of 2009. We'll start to turn the economic corner and start to have just a little bit of better news out there that we can react to. Basically, moderate, very, very moderate growth in a lot of economies, and in some cases, very, very, very stagnant increases around the world expected in 2010. There are some parts and pieces of good news. Consumer energy costs have declined rather significantly over the course of the last 6 to 8 months, okay? Now, what that means is that at least there is some additional dollars that are staying home in the pockets of consumers that hopefully they're going to go and use to spend on our products. It's one of those things that we can point to, and another thing that was made abundantly clear is that we need to try to find some rays of hope in all of this doom and gloom that's going on out there, and I think this is one of those things that at least is a positive for the consumer. Now, another thing that we found very interesting is, you've got a lot of folks right now out there from a financial standpoint trying to correlate what's currently going on to other really, really bad markets, really, really bad economic times. And so some of those that come to mind would be the Great Depression, okay, one that we don't want to think about, but it's one that comes up in the course of the conversation. Another was the oil crisis in the early 70s, and another would have been the kind of the tech bubble that burst in the early 2000s. Really, really tough markets. And then the blue line on there is where we are in this market today. And really what this is measuring is from the peak to where we finally ended up, what did those declines look like? We've lost about, I think our stock market's lost right now from the peak about 35% of its value. At one time we were down as much as 50%. And you can see on here that in three of those four events, we stopped the stock market decline at about 50%. So again, I've got my glass half full on hat here today. And so maybe this is one of those things that we can look at and hopefully look back a year from now and say, yep, that's about as deep as we needed to go, and we've started to stabilize and move the thing back in the right direction. So what do things look like from a financial and an economic outlook? What are some of the assumptions that we are making that are going to play out in the rest of our outlook as we go through the course of the morning? We think unemployment is going to continue to increase. So again, continued pressure on the U.S. consumer. We think consumers are going to be extremely shrewd with their money and the amount of money that they spend and borrow at least into 2010. We found this interesting that there's some expectation that more than 150,000 retail stores and restaurants around the country will close their doors in 2009. This on the heels of a number of financial bankruptcies and closings in 2008. Interest rates, we think, won't be much of an issue in 2009. And again, we do expect some better news as we get into late 2009 and into 2010. So what does this mean to beef demand? It's been an interesting year to kind of reflect on and look back and then try to project forward. How many of you knew that 90s trim levels traded at the highest annual average in history in 2008? So I found one of the positive things that I could say about things here this morning. That's good. It's been an interesting change that we're looking at, and I'll show you here a couple of slides later, but our in cuts are really performing quite well. really where we're hurting, and it's kind of a new bit of news for us, is really in our middle meat values, okay? Chuck values and round values are up anywhere between 10 and 15% compared to a year ago as we stand here today, okay? Rib values are off about 4%. The loin is off about 14%. Again, if you think about what's going on in our general economy and the rough shape that a lot of food service operations, people that serve a lot of steak, the rough shape that those folks are in right now, I think it's a clear indication of why this is taking place and why these values are down the way that they are. We've also seen a bit of a shift in where consumers are spending their dollars, okay? For a number of years, we would have looked at these lines, looking at food service sales versus retail sales, and they would have looked just exactly the opposite. Then increasingly, we are seeing more sales at food service and less at retail. Okay, we changed here about 18 months to 2 years ago, and we think this trend is likely to continue at least for the next couple of years, where consumers are going to cook more of their own food. They're going to spend more of their dollars at retail as opposed to food service. And I think, again, it just goes back to how they're tightening their belt and how they really feel this economic pinch hitting home. This is kind of another way to look at the value contribution of our end cuts versus our middle meats. This is the rib and the loin contribution to the total value. And look at how 2008, that line is so much below where it was in 2007 and really compared to the five-year average. Okay? Much, much more contribution out of the chuck and the round to the total value. So what's my positive spin to this? And why I think that ultimately this may be a good thing as we finally get some good news in the economy and come out of this thing. If we can hold in-cut values and trimming values anywhere close to where they're trading today, and maybe increase and improve those as we go through the course of the year, when we do finally start to get some good news back into the restaurant business and back into our steak demand component of what we look at, we really might be setting ourselves up for a really nice run-up in overall value of the carcass, okay? And I think that that's one of the things that I look at here, and I try to put a little positive news on. Wholesale beef demand index. There's any number of these indexes that we could look at. This is the one that we chose because we think it's fairly reflective of what's going on in both retail and food service. We declined, probably no surprise to anybody in the room, that we declined a little bit in 2008. Our expectation is that we are going to decline a little bit further in 2009. Finally, as we kind of wrap up this part of the discussion, our beef values, at least in the short term, are going to be driven by weak demand, at least currently for our middle meats. Okay, the next shot that we've got really is the opening of the grilling season, which for a lot of us can't get here soon enough, which will start during the good holidays for grilling items that start really in middle of March and go through April, May, and June, okay? Be a really important time frame to watch very closely what's going on with some of these values. We expect the overall demand index to decline by about 4% just in this next year. Consumption here in the United States is going to decline in 2009 and probably again in 2010. But what I tell you is that don't mistake that decline for a challenge from a demand standpoint. Kevin's going to come up here and share with you here a little bit what our supply outlook is. What that decline in consumption really is all about is a decline in the overall availability of the supply. And finally, we think that when the economy finally turns around, and again, I'll hope a little bit here, but hopefully we've got some better news by the middle part of this year, and we see a little bit of upside in all of these markets as we go through the balance of 2009 and into 2010.